sort of inspired by DACA student and DACA young people, that they are able still to dream under this uncertainty for their own life. And I'm creating this as a way to allow everyone to dream together in support of DACA recipients.
Well, and that's at Clark College?
At Clark College.
Okay. At what time?
I will be giving a talk at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and 3 o'clock there's a reception.
On May 3rd.
Right. Okay. And the last day of our exhibition is Saturday, May 5th.
And artist Horatio Law unveils his multimedia art project, A Tale of Two Ghettos, at two locations, May 16th and 6th p.m. At the same time, Old Town Chinatown and J District on 82nd Avenue at the Community House on the PCC campus.
Correct.
And you can find all that at Stage and Studio, kbu.fm/stage and studio. Horatio Law, thanks for joining me today. Have a great opening.
Thank you, Dime.
And one last pitch, call 1-877-500-5266. Support KBU and all the great work that's being done here at your community station. We have lots of gifts for you. Give us a call, 1-877-500-5266. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts.
Good morning. You were just listening to Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBU Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater productions, from gel and globes to paint and lights. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdexpendables.com. Next up on KBU, it's Art Focus. Joseph Galavan interviews tattoo artists Elena Chun and Dan Gilsdorf. But first, this announcement.
Every year on May the 4th, citizens gather in celebration of Jedi, rebels, and the power of the Force. They wear costumes, have parties, and share greetings and pictures on their social networks. They say it's fun, but what aren't they telling you about May the 4th? They say that the rebels are heroes, looking to restore freedom to the galaxy. Fact, the Jedi and rebels are traitors to the Empire, and so are all those who celebrate May the 4th.
No, no, no. Tune in Thursday night, right before midnight, for a very special Star Wars celebration. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th is a dangerous and immoral holiday. This year, say yes to the Empire. Say no to Jedi. Say no to rebels. And say no to May the 4th. Paid for by the Emperor's Committee to Destroy May the 4th.
My name's Joseph Galavan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Dan Gilsdorf, the owner of Atlas Tattoo, and Elena Chun, who's the co-owner of Icon Tattoo, and they're here to talk about the current state of the art of tattooing. Thanks for coming into KBU.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is a subject that I think is dear to a lot of people's hearts, but there's not a lot written about it, or if you're in the mainstream, it's kind of hard to keep up with what's happening. You just see the art appear on people's bodies. So just give us a quick overview of what people are getting tattooed these days in Portland.
I think, you know, the industry is subject to a lot of trends, so there's always people getting, you know, whatever is in trend. But there's we have a great clientele in Portland. There's a lot of people who want really cool tattoos, so a lot of people here are getting larger pieces, coming back for lots of work, and yeah, it's really fun.
What's a trend like, you know, is there a sort of a thing that people get without it's very popular right now?
For me, right now I'm having a run on coniferous trees.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's a thing.
The pine tree is very, very popular for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Design right now. Depends a little bit on what kind of tattooing you do. I just do walk-ins, so I'm working with a lot of people who are getting tattooed for the first time. I'm doing a lot of smaller one-off designs, not working on larger, you know, full body type of projects right now. And so I'm seeing a lot more of trends are coming and going than I used to when I was doing, you know, larger work.
Right. So what kind of coniferous tree do people want around here?
I don't know if people want, like, always a very specific one. It's sort of become, like, a symbol of the Pacific Northwest for a tattoo, I think. And it's something sort of, like, small and accessible that, yeah, is symbolic to people of, you know, I think the beauty here and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's why they get it. It's not like, I want this exact kind of, they're not saying, you know, evergreen or whatever. They are, but
yeah.
Sometimes, but not always.
If they specify the tree, it will either be the Doug fir or the Oregon license plate tree.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two kinds of trees really? When people are specific.
Is that the same one that's on the Cascadia flag?
Sure.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Oh, okay. It's kind of a bushy, big coniferous tree.
I mean, most of the time, they're done pretty small, so you can't really have, like, a lot of detail anyway. It would be pretty hard to make it look exactly like a certain type of, you know, there's so many varietals of evergreens here, so.
How big is small in your world? Like a leg?
Well,
a lower leg.
That's more Elena's territory than mine for those larger things. I yesterday did a tattoo that was smaller than the size of a dime. So,
really?
Yeah.
They what
can
was it?
Get quite small. It was the letter B with some ferns.
Oh, wow. And you fit that in the size of a dime?
Yeah, it was a tight squeeze, but we did it.
Elena, what's a typical tree? Where would you put it?
Something small can go anywhere. I think, like, what we see when people come through the shop and get some of the trees is usually they're a couple inches big, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tattoos are by nature trendy. So, and also with the presence of the internet and the availability of images to people, things come and go fairly worldwide. So I'm not sure to the extent to which the tree, or could we also do a lot of small landscapes, sort of stylized versions of mountain scenes. But I think that this is happening fairly globally. I'm not sure to what extent this is strictly a local thing.
That's interesting.
And I think this is largely because of the proliferation of images on the internet, Pinterest and Instagram and such like.
Definitely.
So somebody in like Paris might be getting a thing that looks like the Cascades?
Maybe.
I would think so, yeah. It's possible.
Huh. So tell me about sourcing of imagery, because, you know, this is a thing where the public who might not go to art galleries gets a passion for an image, and where do they get that image, and how do they execute it, or how do you execute it?
It depends on what type of work you're doing and what type of clientele you're working with. For me personally, most of the time people come to the shop with fairly specific ideas of what they would like. Sometimes they have an accompanying image, sometimes not. But people are able to do quite a bit more research now than they were able to do in the past. And so people's ideas are quite a bit more specific now.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people will come in with one or two or even a handful of images that they would like to incorporate or that have elements that they like. And these images come from all different sources. More than ever now, people are bringing in images of tattoos that are already done, images of pictures of tattoos. In the past, I think people tended to bring images from outside of tattooing, so we would get images from books and, you know, the internet, but not actual tattoos.
Yeah.
And more, I think when people are new to tattooing, especially decide they want a tattoo, their first thing to do is a Google image search involving the word tattoo.
Right, right.
Which has mixed results.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So you're dealing, it's very meta. You're getting pictures of tattoos that need to be turned into tattoos, but slightly different. They don't want a copy, do they, on their body? They want a variation?
I mean, it generally is like against etiquette to copy someone else's tattoo, so you would want to make it your own.
Right.
Yeah. So I think people bring often the tattoo images as a reference for the style that they're thinking of. And in that way, I think people's access to imagery can be helpful in that way, because it helps them sort of figure out exactly what, you know, stylistically they're interested in.
So the access to imagery, it seems like the internet when it started was pretty text-based, and now it's about watching video a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the traffic Definitely. Is video. Where do you see people going to look for imagery?
Pinterest.
Yeah.
Pinterest?
Pinterest is the really? Number one it's big. Source for images.
What, hang on a sec. And are they looking at other tattoos on Pinterest, or are they looking at beautiful pictures of nature and...
Both, but I think
a lot of tattoos.
Predominantly
yeah.
existing tattoos.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What kind of stuff? I've never even looked at Pinterest like that.
I think it's very common for somebody to do a search on Pinterest for, say, Doug Fir tattoo. And you can have thousands of images of different people who've gotten Doug Fir trees tattooed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a starting point for a lot of people. I've found that Pinterest appeals to a pretty wide range of people. And I think people pretty quickly got hip to the idea that Pinterest will give you a lot more usable results than just a Google image search. Just because Pinterest is a little bit more narrow in its focus and people use it. The interface is such that you can isolate a certain kind of thing that you want and then find lots of examples of that. So it's, I think a lot of interior designers use it, a lot of graphic designers use it in order to isolate certain stylistic groupings.
Mm-hmm.
And tattoo customers are now hip to this process and are using it quite widely.
Right.
I have a lot of clients that use Instagram as well.
Instagram
That's a
also.
Big one.
You two both have Instagrams of yourselves and your stores. So Elena Chun, Icon Tattoo, Atlas Tattoo, Dan Gilsdorf. Those are four Instagrams that you produce. So you see people coming in, holding up their phones, saying this, I want this, that kind of thing.
Yes, definitely.
Instagram tends to be more artist focused rather than content focused. So
yeah.
People will find an artist that they like on Instagram, whereas on Pinterest, people will find a style of tattoo that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the difference. So Definitely. Instagram is much more about authorship. And from my standpoint, this is a good thing because people will come to me with images from my Instagram feed that they like and images from other people whose work maybe is similar to mine that they like. And that helps a lot to indicate to me what it is they're looking for. And we can come up with something new for this person, but I have a strong trajectory to follow. At the outset, so this can be quite helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really similar for me. And what's more common for me at work is to have someone just bring me sort of stuff that I've done that they like, or maybe someone who does similar stuff to me. And what's less common for me is to have someone bring me an image where they want an exact thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they'll sort of say, I'd like something kind of like this. I like these other things that you've done, because they have access to all the images, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll sort of draw something based on that conversation. But yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the ways the industry has changed so much over the years, just even in the time that I've been in it, and I'm sure much more since when Dan started. I mean, when I first started tattooing, shops barely even had websites, so it's really come a long ways in that mm-hmm. regard, you know?
When I started tattooing, there was no internet to speak of, so it has changed a lot. And I would say that the internet has been the thing that has changed tattooing in the last 100 years more than potentially any other single thing other than maybe the electric tattoo machine. The internet has changed the way that tattoo artists communicate with each other. It's changed the way that the perceived hierarchy within tattooing, who's valuable, who is not, it's changed the way that that operates. It's changed the way that customers find images. It has changed the way that customers find artists. It's changed the demographics of customers quite a bit. And also the demographics of tattoo artists, I would say.
Definitely.
Meaning older, younger?
It's just made a much stronger community, I would say, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
People can be connected all over the world because of it, you know?
I would argue with that. I would say that it has not made the community stronger only because tattooing has always had a very strong cohesion in the field. And people have always traveled and always communicated with each other over wide ranges of distance and culture. But they have had to do so using means that were much more inefficient than now. I think that the field has opened up to the point where it as a professional practice, it appeals to a much wider range of people. In the past, really, my perception when I started was that the reason you got into tattooing was because you love tattoos, and there was really nothing else to it. Tattooing wasn't seen as something that was culturally valuable as such, so if you didn't really love tattoos, then there really was no point. And that has begun to change now, where it's the word is out that you can make a living at it. So if someone is a talented draftsperson, then he or she maybe finishing up illustration school, maybe not, maybe just has a lot of natural ability. Tattooing is now sort of a viable career path,
mm-hmm.
rather than just an interest or passion that one follows for its own sake.
So it's just part of the graphic arts. You know, you could be designing posters or websites, but maybe you do tattoos on the side.
Potentially. I don't believe that one can really do tattoos on the side and be any good at it.
Mm-hmm.
At least the situation that I'm in, where it requires fairly daily practice. When I take a week off, I come back and it's a different experience.
You really? Feel it. Yeah.
What do you feel, Elena? What's the difference?
I don't know. You just feel rusty. It's something that feels good to do often, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Dan Gilsdorf of Atlas Tattoo and Elena Chun of Icon Tattoo. They're here talking about latest trends and how the industry is doing. So you've talked about the rise of the specialists. Just say a bit more about that. You know, the internet and the growing industry has made it more competitive. So what would a specialist be like? What are they specializing in?
I think people, as Dan was saying earlier, have gotten just a lot more focused with style and doing less of other styles. I think in the past, people would do a very large variety of styles based on, you know, whatever the customer wanted at the time, and that's absolutely still the case for a lot of tattooers. But with the internet, as he was talking about popularity and things like that, there's been a rise of people who really just stick to one sort of specific thing.
And in the past, there was a lot fewer tattooers circulating right. than there are now. And so, the standards of quality were different in the past. So you could easily differentiate yourself by the quality of your work and stand out and still do lots of different kinds of things. Nowadays, tattooers in general are quite good. You can go to any city in the country and find a solid handful of competent tattooers, and this did not used to be the case.
Yeah.
And so to differentiate oneself in this sea of really quite skillful tattooers is difficult, and so stylistically is one really good way to differentiate oneself. If you mm-hmm. specialize in a particular style, then people will recognize your work vis-a-vis the work of others, and if they're attracted to that, then they will seek you out.
I mean, there is also the low end is more visible now, because you go on Facebook and look in the marketplace where people are selling cars for like $500 and, you know, guitars and things. I see people offering tattoos and they show the work and it's not very good at all. You know, I guess you've got the rise of the stylist and then you've got this sort of hobbyist, the lower version. It's all visible. What interests me is when everything's visible, how do people make choices about where to go and what to do?
Well, I tend not to try and think of things in terms of high and low. One of the things I love about tattooing in general is that it's inherently low. And this is good. This is one of the things I love about it. And it's also inherently egalitarian. You know, all of these distinctions of what is good and bad are all based on taste. They're all arbitrary, in my opinion. But I love all tattoos, so I don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
the very, very bad ones?
Well, what is bad? As long as it's safe and somebody's not passing on any diseases, then the rest of it's just a matter of taste. Mm-hmm. I wear tattoos that were done by people who have very rudimentary skill set, and I love these tattoos. They are not conventionally attractive to the eye, but they're very meaningful to me, and they have a story to them that I really appreciate, and I love wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not here to say that someone who doesn't have a high degree of manual dexterity, say, should or shouldn't be tattooing, I think that there's room for everyone. People, the right people who want to get tattoos, with a little bit of effort on their part, will find the right people to do their tattoos. And if their first priority is low cost, then it's possible for them to find someone who can help them with that.
Elena, I had this idea that real estate is vanishing. You know, as people get more and more tattoos, there's less and less room. You have people coming in, and how do you talk to them about what to do with the space, you know, where they're getting a tattoo? And
I just sort of ask people what their plans are, what they might want to do in the future, and, you know, sort of help them decide. Usually people, you know, have a rough idea of a couple places they would want something, and so we'll kind of discuss the options and make a decision together. I think a lot of people usually want, you know, some kind of, they're curious about our opinion about where we think things would look good and work and things like that, so.
I mean, I see someone like Miley Cyrus who has a hodgepodge of different things, and I just think that is so sad. And I see someone who's got like a very well orchestrated, bigger pieces that sort of join up together as being kind of a work of art. Do you take that view too?
No, definitely not. I mean, I would sort of like echo what Dan said about, you know, it's all arbitrary. It's whatever the person's desire is and what they decide is good and what they want. And not everyone is meant to be a collector or covered, and some people just want several small things, and that's, both versions of that are totally fine, and both versions of that can be great for us to work with as well, you know?
So you're very egalitarian.
This is one of my favorite things about tattoos, is that yeah. It appeals to an incredibly wide range of people, and that's my favorite thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, you get to meet so many different people coming through the shop. All those variations within that group of people are part of what keeps it interesting, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you see it as the primary thing, it's your body and you can do what you like, and this, it's secondary what the viewer experiences?
It's different for different people. Some customers very much invested in the idea that the tattoo is for them. One of the things that we've seen a lot recently is that people will get tattoos on, say, their wrists or a part of the body that's very visible to them, and they will get it so that it faces them, so that when the wearer looks at it, it's right side up to them, which of course makes it upside down to the entire rest of the world. And this is a new trend, let's say, and it's been a funny thing for us to deal with. But I think that that notion that tattoos are for an expression of the self for the self is quite strong at present.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you see that a lot,
yes,
Elena?
Yes, definitely.
But on the other hand, other people have like a vision of how they want to look, and the tattoos are part of that, and that's more externally focused and has to do with, similar to the way they choose their clothing, it's a way for them to express their aesthetic on, you know, the presentation that they make to the rest of the world. So that's sort of facing the other direction, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Dan Gilsdorf, the owner of Atlas Tattoo on North Albina Street, and Elena Chun of Icon Tattoo on North Russell. Thanks for coming into Art Focus.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us on our spring membership drive here at KBOO. The number to call is 877-500-5266. Again, that number is 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button to show your support for Joseph Gallivan and Art Focus, or D. May Roberts and Stage and Studio. And if you take the opportunity to call now, we have some wonderful gifts for those who make this commitment for a $5 a month. Think about that. $5 a month, a commitment for $60 a year. You can get a pair of tickets for Cabaret the Musical. Or for $5 a month, again, only $5 a month, that's $60 a year. You can go to John Hughes High, the 1980s teen musical. When you think about it, this cost is probably about the cost of the tickets themselves, which means you're getting the value of the tickets while the support is coming to your community radio station, KBOO. So, take a moment, pick up that phone, and give us a call.
Yeah, you noticed how it was kind of relaxing there and you were enjoying hearing about tattoos. And you don't hear about tattoos much, but you know, I think what are there like, there must be dozens of tattoo studios in the Portland area. I think if it weren't for tattoos, dope sales, and bicycles.
And coffee.
And coffee. The floor would fall out of this economy. So this, we're talking about what's real here. And we'd like to thank some people who just gave online at kboo.fm. And you can join them if you, you know, just pull up a tab. It's easy enough. We got a splash page going on. Bill from Aloha, he clicked and he gave. Greg from Northeast Portland, he clicked and he gave. And if you try to donate online and the site is sometimes out, please keep in mind that we are fighting off an active hacking attack. This makes me furious. We have limited resources. Fortunately, well, we have Jinko, who is not very limited at all. But
that's
only one
unlimited resource right there.
Yeah, the app is working, though. So you can donate through the KBOO app very easily. This is one of those things, over the years, I've seen this sort of thing. There was a group of people one time, I think it was about a decade ago, who were actually calling the number in order to tie up the lines, keep us from raising funds. And there have been other various, it would take too long to describe, but the fact is, it's kind of an acknowledgement. It's kind of it kind of tells us we're on the right path when we have these shadowy groups trying to spike what we're doing, trying to destroy KBOO. We are being hacked, and so I invite you to get your defiance on and call us at 877-500-5266. Don't let it go down because of right wing. I mean, of course it's going to be right wingers. Because of right-wing attacks, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm, right, Ray?
That's absolutely true. You know, Teresa, and you know this, Teresa, for 50 years, KBOO has been that alternative voice to make sure that the right-wing media or the commercial media or the corporate media or whatever you want to call it isn't the only source of biased information, isn't the only source of government propaganda. We provide you a complete broad range of topics, a broad range of perspectives, so that you can be informed as a listener and make your own decisions. You don't have to just blindly follow the corporate media. And you can help us continue to do that for another 50 years by calling us now at 877-500-5266 and showing your support for your community radio station, for your alternative radio station, KBOO, and, you know, continuing along with a list of opportunities we discovered earlier. You know, we also have tickets for Left Hook. We have a pair of tickets for Left Hook at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and that's only $5 a month or $60 a year. And finally, what many people consider a great find, Rich People Problems by Kevin Kwan. We have three copies of that book. $5 a month, $60 a year will get you this very funny novel. So pick up that phone. Take this opportunity. Show your support for your local community alternative radio station, KBOO. Call us at 877-500-5266.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting some of those tickets to hear Dimay Roberts sing in Cabaret. Now, that's got to be interesting. I mean, on top of being an award-winning author and everything else that she does, she sings also. So, hey, that would be interesting. And that's easy for you to do, actually. Take it right out of my hands by calling 877-500-5266. I want to double down on this hacking attack that we're suffering right now. This, as I was saying, this is an indication that we are on the right track. And the Trumpoids, frankly, just can't take it. They can't compete on an intellectual or moral basis. And that is why we are under attack. And it makes me mad. And I want to make it backfire. That's why I keep bringing it up. People's journalism is under serious and even devastating attack by the redirection algorithms out of Google and Facebook. And that's not even just specifically Trumpism. That's just the heavy sort of conformity that I saw and denounced when I went to the Democratic convention. It was just, it's just ugly, and it can be deadly. Maybe it's more deadly. I don't know. That would take a whole another discussion. But I want you to fight back. Fight back with me. I'm going to put my money. I'm going to put my walk where my squawk is. I'm just going to grab a five out of my wallet and put it on the table, on the pledge table, because I need that extra pushback. I need you to hear me. I need you to prick up your ears for a moment and understand we are under attack right now. And this is super important because we have as many or more listeners online than we have with our terrestrial transmitters. It's half and half at this point, or maybe it's changing. We have to change with the times, and on top of the algorithm nonsense that's going on, which is just wiping out, it's wiping out Counterpunch, it's wiping out WSWS.org, it's wiping out The Intercept. This is happening The left is under severe attack, and right now KBOO is under a hacking attack. I need you to call 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. Say it slower so you can get it. 877 is the toll-free number. 500 is easy to remember. Spell out KBOO on the keyboard. 5266. So it's 877-500-5266. And we do have the website back up right now, but it keeps going down. KBOO.fm. Click it. I'm just going to sputter here, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Ray.
Well, and, you know, the website's back up, and that just shows the dedication of people like Jenka here who made the commitment, learned the system, learned probably know more about it than most of us will ever forget. She's just incredibly important, and it's the kind of collaborative organization you'll find here at KBOO. It's a volunteer-run organization to bring you the kind of programming that you've been looking for here in Portland. And we want you to take this opportunity to keep Portland radical, support your alternative radio station, and call 877-500-5266 and make that commitment. For $5 a month, you can get tickets to Cabaret. Or for $5 a month, you could get tickets to John Hughes High. Or for $5 a month, you could get tickets to Left Hook. Think about that. $5 a month. That's less than 25 cents a day to get these tickets and show your support for your community radio station, KBOO. Don't let corporate media direct you into a rabbit hole. Stay here, stay informed, and stay entertained with the music programming that you've come to expect. So please pick up your phone, call us, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm and click on donate.
It's high noon here on the Pacific side of the country. And we're about to, I believe, we're going to go to news and more KBOO programming. And as I was saying, people's journalism is under serious attack. We are being hacked. Please fight back. 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. And